The March of scientific discoveries has moved on to April, so here are 10 interesting recent scientific discoveries for April 2024. Number 10. The X-59 aircraft. When examining the history of commercial flight, in some ways it appears that it's stagnated or even took a step backwards with the retirement of the Concorde. Supersonic transatlantic flight then left the stage as far as moving passengers around. One of the problems of Concorde, however, was it couldn't really operate at supersonic speeds over land because of damaging sonic booms, and it also created very high engine noise in its own right, which limited it. As a result, sonic booms are illegal over populated areas. But this may change in that NASA recently unveiled their new X-59 supersonic aircraft, which is designed to minimize sonic booms and open the way for eventual legalization of supersonic commercial flight over land. Technology and aeronautics have come a long way since the design of Concorde, so it may well be that the X-59 is the first step to a new generation of supersonic commercial aircraft. Number 9. The Billion Crater Meteorite. You normally would not expect a single meteorite to produce multiple craters, but that actually isn't the case. Whenever there is a large asteroid impact on a body, enormous amounts of material is ejected, and that then falls back to the planet or moon's surface, creating secondary craters that can occur in clusters and chains, but also randomly around the original impact crater. Earth tends to weather these kinds of craters away fairly quickly, but numerous examples of this are known on the moon and also Mars. And in the case of Mars, however, an extreme example of this effect has recently been discovered. Associated with the crater Corinto, which formed in an impact about 2.3 million years ago, researchers were able to estimate the number of secondary craters present in the area, and it actually came out as over a billion, possibly several, spread over a 1.4 million square kilometer area. The mystery here, however, is in just how a relatively small crater like Corinto could eject enough material to create that many secondary craters, but it did. Number 8. The Dark Primordial Galaxy. We think of the modern universe as having more or less all of the galaxies it's likely to ever have, and the days of primordial clouds that could collapse to become galaxies are over. But it's always been hypothesized that this may not actually be true, and that some dark primordial galaxies might still persist. Radio observations done at the Green Bank Radio Telescope, however, may have stumbled across the first known example. Known as J0613+52, it appears to be an enormous galaxy-sized cloud of hydrogen that initial optical observations determined is emitting no visible light, just the natural radio emissions of cold hydrogen clouds. This may mean that the galaxy never had the conditions needed to kick off star formation, such as enough gravity to begin to pull things together, or another trigger, such as a passing galaxy, to do it. This one, however, is isolated and may never have had any of that happen, leaving it as a primordial hydrogen cloud about 270 million light years distant. Interestingly, while it's still just a candidate, astronomers hope to train optical telescopes in the cloud for many hours, specifically in hopes of seeing nothing. If no light is seen at all, then it will be the first primordial galaxy known to still exist in the universe. But maybe not forever. It may pass another object in the future, or otherwise get disturbed, kicking off the process late in the game. But if not, and this cloud just persists into the distant future, this would become prime real estate for any civilizations left in the universe to try to get to. As the stars of the regular galaxies blink out, leaving a cinder universe, a gas cloud like this would allow for a civilization to persist far longer than they otherwise could by creating artificial stars from the abundant hydrogen of an object like this. Number 7. The Sleeping Artificial Intelligence. Often overshadowed by 2001, the very worthy sequel 2010 shows a scene where HAL 9000 is awakened and is speaking to his creator, Dr. Chandra, who tells him the truth that he will soon be destroyed to save the other members of the expedition. HAL then thanks him for his honesty and accepts his fate willingly. But he asked a very interesting question. Dr. Chandra, will I dream? Sleep to a computer typically is an energy-saving mode and not essential for a computer to run. This is true for AI as well, except as our artificial intelligence advances, it's becoming clear that some form of true analog sleep might end up being useful, and it may even be useful for it to dream, at least in a sense. Researchers in Italy were looking into an issue with AI models, known as catastrophic forgetting, where a previously learned and executed task, as it continues to learn, degrades and is forgotten. You might build a model that can identify different species of shark, but if you teach it to identify different species of frogs, then it may lose the ability to recognize the sharks as a result. They then developed a way for the AI model to sleep and dream periodically to consolidate its memories and basically refresh everything. So when dreaming, the AI will see pictures of fish and other random animals to consolidate its memory, but also false animals that do not exist in nature and are smashed together attributes of real animals to teach it to learn more complex patterns. The models that were put to sleep in this way performed as much as 12% better than those without the ability. But in the end, this is really just taking a page from the human brain and how it works, and the hours of sleep we require may not be what an AI requires. And AIs, spending time sleeping isn't really good for productivity. Number 6, the sleep-chewing reindeer. While we're on the topic of sleep, there has been another discovery, and it's rather odd. It's long been known that some species can get to sleep under very unusual conditions in a way very different from the sleep habits of a human. The Arctic is like this, where the period where the sun shines 24 hours a day and food is abundant is not a good time to waste before the sun goes down for half a year. As a result, animals are busy when it's light out. In this case, the Arctic reindeer was noted to actually sleep and chew at the same time, but not actually eat. Reindeer are ruminants, and they chew their cud, which the reindeer seems to do on autopilot while sleeping. The brain waves of the deer indicated sleep. They were harder to disturb when in this state, and actually closed their eyes as though snoozing, all while they were chewing away. This is not the weirdest to be found in the animal kingdom, however. Certain species like penguins and seals can actually sleep with half of their brain, while the other half is awake. Studies such as this, however, could shed light on people that have sleep disorders, such as sleepwalking. Number 5. The chances of AI being our extinction event. Before the launch of ChatGPT, a survey was done of AI researchers asking when certain telltale milestones would be hit in AI development, especially in regards to when AI would be able to outperform humans in most tasks. A similar study involving 2,700 researchers done in 2023 revised these milestones as coming significantly faster by as much as 48 years than they had been predicted in previous studies. AI development is surprising us. It's also surprising in other ways. It was not at all well predicted in years past just what AI would be initially good at. You could see deep fakes coming. CGI has been everywhere for decades. And now AI is just the next step. But what wasn't seen was that AI would basically be able to very rapidly rival humans in art and music. Well, not quite there yet. There will come a time relatively soon where AI will outdo us in an increasing number of tasks. But in some ways, it's already fully capable of being used to undermine political systems, interfere with security, and many other things. But the big lingering question is, at what stage does AI become capable of destroying civilization and bringing about human extinction? A theme in sci-fi for sure, but in the past, specialists felt that there really wasn't much of a chance of it. AI is good at some things, but it's not yet all that great at manipulating its environment. And power can always be cut, were the usual arguments for its unlikelihood. Only far future scenarios such as molecular nanotechnology getting hijacked by an AI seemed plausible. But in the new poll, researchers weren't as sure as in the past, and now put a 5% chance on AI being humanity's eventual extinction event. The theme again being, and the most important thing to take notice of right now in technology, is that AI is surprising us. Number 4. Neanderthal cave lion hunting. Over the last 20 years, many new finds have been made that have revised our view of our close hominid relatives, the Neanderthals. Once thought to not be quite as sophisticated as we are, which was a bias, we now know that Neanderthals buried their dead, practiced rituals, and even created art. They were mixing paints from red ochre and manganese, and probably practicing body painting. They were also mixing with anatomically modern humans. A large percentage of human groups bear Neanderthal DNA, suggesting that at the time we probably just saw them as odd-looking humans and vice versa, though that's actually very difficult to establish. Given how close the two are anyway, it might have happened from a common ancestor. One interesting thing about this, though, is that they may have sounded somewhat differently. They likely spoke and could communicate with us, but Neanderthals have structural differences that might have made their vocalization palette different from us. So communication between an anatomically modern human and a Neanderthal would have sounded unusual to anyone hearing it for the first time. And had they not disappeared, and I use that term intentionally, because there is debate about whether they went extinct or simply absorbed into our gene pool, it's interesting to imagine things like singing Neanderthals and how that might have changed the course of how humans make music. But now the newest discovery regarding Neanderthals is that they took on some very major and very dangerous prey. A recent investigation of a 48,000-year-old cave lion skeleton found in the 1980s shows that the Neanderthals hunting it took it down with a large wooden spear. This reinforces another find of bones from a cave lion paw that show evidence that the Neanderthals had taken the animal's pelt. From the angle of the wound, researchers were able to work out that the hunters approached from behind when the animal was laying on its right side. It's unclear if they surprised it, or if it was weakened in some way, or what the exact circumstances were. Tool marks on the bones show that it was then butchered for consumption. Number 3. A dense planet in the hot Neptune desert. Planet formation is not clean-cut science. Since the study of exoplanets began, it became clear that there are general classes of planets, but within those classes there are a lot of outliers, to the point that some of them we don't even know how they formed. A new example of this is the exoplanet TOI 1853b. This world is about the size of Neptune, but its density is way off. This planet is far denser than Neptune, and actually exceeds the density of steel, though that is an oversimplification of its conditions. The problem with this world is not just in how it became so dense, but also how it did it in the location it's in. The planet orbits its star very closely, its year is just 1.24 Earth days, and is located in what's known as the hot Neptune desert, where planets like this are very, very rare, suggesting that it's hard for them to form at all, much less end up with a density this high. There is thought to be a physical reason for this. As protoplanetary disks accrete into planetary cores, the cores eventually reach a density in these regions that causes pressure in the disk to move material away from the forming planet. Somehow this exoplanet violated that, however. How it did it is unclear, but there are some ideas. One is an impact and merging of two large protoplanets, but comes with the issue that it's more likely to end up with multiple planets from such a collision than a single large one, but not impossible. The other idea currently on the table is that it's a core from a Jupiter-sized planet that has lost its atmosphere, giving us literally a gas giant core to study. The planet does have some remaining atmosphere, and the study of that might reveal the answer, as a collision would leave a different chemical makeup in that atmosphere rather than a hydrogen-dominated atmosphere if it were once a gas giant. Number 2. Smoke-emitting stars. Over the last 5 years, the night sky star Betelgeuse has been showing dramatic changes in its brightness, to the point of being visible to the naked eye. The reason for this is that Betelgeuse is emitting large clouds of material blocking its own light as we see it. But recently other stars doing something like this have been observed. Known as old smokers, this class of star involves giant stars at the ends of their lives. These kinds of old stars, as they age, begin to pulsate and show variability, known as Mira variables. As they pulse, they throw off material from their outer layers. These are well known, but a new class has emerged that aren't pulsating when they should be, but instead periodically dim dramatically due to the emission of material from within the star. This can take months or years for the star's brightness to recover, and it remains unclear how these sorts of ejections of material can occur without the characteristic pulsing. One thing that was noted is that these non-pulsing outliers were all near the center of the galaxy, where the concentrations of heavier elements is greater, which may be changing the conditions enough to change the behavior of these stars. Number 1. The virus-like replicator. Replication is the foundation of life, but also things that start to resemble life, but aren't classed as alive. Most famously, this includes the viruses. but there have since been distinct groups of replicators seen. One of these are the viroids, which are far smaller than viruses and were not actually discovered until the 1970s and differ in that they do not have the protein shell of a virus, just a circular strand of RNA. Very surprisingly, a new type of replicator has been found distinct from a viroid, known as an obelisk. These two are very tiny and consist entirely of RNA in a rod-like structure. But unlike a viroid, they actually do code for proteins. And they aren't like any proteins known. Even stranger, the obelisks were isolated from the human gut. This suggests that they have some kind of a role in life. And this discovery opens up more questions than any other science story in a long time. These questions will be, what role do they play in actual life alongside the viruses and viroids? Can we use whatever they do in medicine, and how do they affect health and many other avenues? But they also have one other potential. The major idea regarding abiogenesis on Earth and how life got going involves RNA, and that the first life was RNA-based. This requires RNA to start with, and that in turn is known as the RNA world, for which evidence is mounting. If that's the case, however, it's possible that the viroids and obelisks are somehow related to the RNA precursors of life, and represent relics of sorts of the long-ago RNA world. In some ways, that world may still be with us. Thanks for listening. I am futurist and science fiction author John Michael Godier, currently giving a shout out to some friends of the show, Chris of the Eastern Border Podcast and his new wife, Evita. Congratulations to you both, and be sure to check out my books at your favorite online book retailer and subscribe to my channels for regular in-depth explorations into the interesting, weird, and unknown aspects of this amazing universe in which we live.